Let me invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And find verse 15, because this will be the center of our attention for the message this morning. Verse 15, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, and then you'll notice that there's brackets. And in the brackets, he says, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, in brackets. And so verse 16, where he says that ye submit yourselves unto such, you need to go back to verse 15, and we'll leave the brackets out for a moment. Verse 15 says, I beseech you, brethren, and then down to verse 16, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. So Paul is giving an exhortation, I beseech you, brethren, that you conduct yourselves in a certain fashion. And the example that he has put here is the household of Stephanas. Our society today is full of people with many and great addictions. A lot of them are severe and troubling. very few things we could call a good addiction. But as we take a look at the world around us, we learn that there are many that are bad types of addictions. We've learned over the last 2 years with this COVID stuff that with the imposition of lockdown measures in our province and country, that addictions have increased to the point where they have become serious mental health issues in our day, even more so than before the pandemic. Many are trying to help in this area, but with the latest lockdown measures in Ontario, one wonders if the, quote, powers that be are even aware that there is an addiction crisis brought on by these emergency restrictions and measures. There are many addictions. There's addiction to drugs of all kinds, not just methamphetamines and opioids, things like that, but all kinds of drugs. Some of them are prescription drugs that people are hooked on and addicted to and cannot get off of. Addiction to drugs. There's addiction to alcohol, and we're told that that has increased greatly in the last couple of years with the lockdowns and so on. There's addictions to sex and to pornography. Addictions to eating. I'm kind of addicted to eating, but maybe not beyond control, as some are finding themselves today. Addictions to eating, addiction to gambling, addiction to smoking, what's in the tobacco? Nicotine, thank you. thinking of gambling, addictions to gambling, I don't know if you pay attention to the ads that come on TV, but there's a lot of ads about online gaming and how wonderful it is, and then at the very bottom you are supposed to take care of, kind of discipline yourself in what you do. Have fun, but don't do too much. Yeah, right. There's addiction to exercise. Anybody addicted to exercise? There are some people that got to be out running and doing this, doing that, the other thing, because you got to keep the body. It's an addiction that they just can't seem to control. I went online to see what kinds of addictions, and there is a whole list of things that they were putting on there. So addiction to exercise, addictions to the internet, to video games, to cell phones. it's another appendage for some people. There's addiction to shopping. Nobody has that addiction here. Addiction to work and addiction to obsessive compulsive behaviors. You know, the people that just, they have to have everything in place and in order. And if it's out of order, they go crazy and gotta put it back in order again. And there are probably more out there as well. But addictions have become a national health, mental health issue and problem. even in these days. In these addictions, people are out of control. They are not able to manage their emotions and willpower enough to stop or to be reasonable in their use of these things. And now with the new law outlawing any counseling for people that Canadian government has just put in place, I think it came into force on Friday. Although it's focused on gender identity and sexuality, you can't counsel anybody today who may want to, who wants some help in dealing with some of these things, because you could face a 5-year jail term and all kinds of fines. So with the new law, I can foresee that new law, although it's focused on sexuality and gender identity, I can see it being used against those who are trying to help others overcome their addictions. It'll be manipulated in some manner to impact that. Dictionary.com defines addiction as, quote, the state of being compulsively committed to a habit or practice or to something that is psychologically or physically habit-forming, as narcotics, to such an extent that its cessation causes severe trauma. Right? If they have to stop or give up or can't do it, then it causes severe trauma. A note from medicalnewstoday.com says, addiction is an inability to stop using a substance or engaging in a behavior, even though it is causing psychological and physical harm. The term addiction does not only refer to dependence on substances such as heroin or cocaine. Some addictions also involve an inability to stop partaking in activities such as gambling, eating, or working. Addiction is a chronic condition that can also result from taking medications. In fact, the misuse of opioids, particularly illicitly made fentanyl, caused nearly 50,000 deaths in the United States in 2019 alone. The American Society of Addiction Medicine defines addiction as, quote, a treatable chronic medical disease involving complex interactions among brain circuits, genetics, the environment, and an individual's life experiences. People with addiction use substances or engage in behaviors that become compulsive and often continue despite harmful consequences. Many people, but not all, start using a drug or first engage in an activity voluntarily. However, addiction can take over and reduce self-control, so they say. So we acknowledge that addictions today is truly a societal problem, and even more so in the situation that we're in even today. But that's in the world. And perhaps, unfortunately, there are some Christians that are caught up in some of these things as well. But this morning, I would have us consider an addiction that is truly honorable, that is truly praiseworthy and exemplary. And I'm referring, of course, to the verse that we're considering this morning in 1 Corinthians 16:15. Here in this verse that we have before us, we have the use of the word addicted. The household of Stephanas addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. This is not a bad addiction, but rather a good and proper addiction, and one that we can give some consideration to this morning. Excuse me. So let's take a little closer look at what we have here in this passage of Scripture. First question is, who is Stephanas? It's the household of Stephanas that have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Who is this man named Stephanas? Well, interestingly enough, Stephanas, his name is mentioned only 3 times in the Bible, and all 3 of them are here in 1 Corinthians. If you want to keep your finger here in 1 Corinthians 16 and come all the way back to 1 Corinthians 1, we'll take note of verse 16 and 17. Where Paul is giving a bit of a testimony concerning his ministry in Corinth. Here he says in verse 16 and 17, 1 Corinthians 1, "And I baptized also the household of Stephanas." Okay, there's a mention of Stephanas. "Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect." So here in this verse, we understand, we're introduced to Stephanas. He is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Apostle Paul himself baptized Stephanas and his household. The other two references to Stephanas are in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, where we are. But if you come down to verse 17, Paul says, "I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied." Right? So here in verse 15, we find that the household of Stephanas have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And in verse 17, we find Stephanas being part of a company, along with Fortunatus and Achaicus, who had come to the Apostle Paul where he was and to minister to him on behalf of the Corinthian church. So he greatly involved in service and ministry for the apostle. So what do we learn of Stephanas? Well, he was a Corinthian. He was saved under the ministry of the Apostle Paul when he came to that town. He was baptized by the Apostle Paul, and it would appear that he was a colleague of the Apostle Paul as well, in some manner, in some sense. A true minister of the Lord Jesus to the Apostle Paul on behalf of the church in Corinth. The name Stephanas means crowned, from the Greek word Stephanas, which means crown. And we know that he will certainly be crowned when he stands at the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, and will be rewarded for those things that he has done in the name of the Lord Jesus and on behalf of the servants and the saints. Certainly is an example, I think, for all of us, even today, in our service for the Lord Jesus, in the context that we are in today. To be addicted to the ministry, to the saints, is certainly a well worth addiction to have. So that's Stephanas. He's not mentioned very often, and he is profoundly an example that Paul uses in his letter to the Corinthians. And you know, sometimes we, as we serve the Lord, we may not have a great name that's out there around the world with fame and fortune and all that kind of thing, and people knocking on our doors or calling us up to say, "Hey, would you come and speak to this group or that group?" Most of us are just quietly serving the Lord with the gifts and the abilities that he's given to us, not for any glory for ourselves or fame, but for God's glory and for the well-being of the people that we minister to. And so Stephanas is a wonderful example for us in that endeavor. It reminds me of the four men who held the ropes to the basket that the Apostle Paul was let down with out of, I think it was the city of Damascus when he left there. We don't know the names of those four guys, but they are profoundly important because Paul was able to escape a death in Damascus and carry on in ministry service for the Lord. And we may just be like one of those rope holders that the Lord will use. Unknown, no name, but certainly have been effective in service for the Lord. So I thank the Lord for Stephanas. Look forward to meeting him someday when we get to glory. Secondly, notice Paul's commendation of Stephanas. His commendation of Stephanas. In writing to the Corinthian church now, Paul issues this exhortation. It's in the word beseech. "I beseech you, brethren." And his beseeching of them, his exhortation, and the exhortation is in verse 16, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. And then he talks about being glad for the coming of Stephanas and the others, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. And so he commends Stephanas, and he issues this exhortation to the Corinthian church based on what they know of the household of Stephanas. Right? And that's in the brackets. So he shares in the brackets, and he says, this is what you need to be like, to serve as Stephanas has. And they know him because he's part of their church. He's a Corinthian believer himself. And so the Apostle Paul identifies a couple of things that are exemplary of Stephanas and his household. In verse 15, notice first of all, you know the house of Stephanas, they know him well because he's one of their own, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, the first fruits of Achaia. That is, Stephanas and his household were the first to get saved in Achaia. Achaia is a provincial area, something like Ontario. Corinth would be a city within that province. And you can check your Bible maps in the back of your Bible to find out where Achaia is. And Corinth would be, I think it's the capital of that particular area in that day. But Stephanas and his household were the first fruits. They were the first to get saved in Achaia when Paul came to that area after leaving Athens. Remember when he came into Europe? He crossed from Troas over the Aegean Sea and went to the little town of Philippi. Remember that? Acts 16. And then from there, they went down to Thessalonica. Had some troubles there. The Jews didn't like him, were out to kill him because he preached the gospel and that Jesus was the Christ and that he was resurrected from the dead. They didn't like that. They wanted to get rid of him. So Paul left Thessalonica and went to, verse 11, Berea, to the Bereans. And it says in verse 11 that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the word with all readiness of mind and then searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And then after he left Berea, he traveled down to Athens, and then from Athens he came to Corinth. Keep your finger here in 1 Corinthians. Turn back with me to Acts 18 for just a moment so we can see Paul's interaction in Corinth. In Acts chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Right? He found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius, that would be Caesar, had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord Jesus, on the Lord, with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." And he drave them from the judgment seat. And then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. And then after Paul had tarried there yet a good while, then he took his leave and sailed into Syria. So that's the historical record of Paul coming into Corinth. Did you notice Stephanus' name in any of that account in Acts chapter 18? No, his name is not mentioned here, but I believe he is included, particularly in verse 8, where it says, "Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." I think in those words, you would find Stephanus and his household, because he believed the word of the Apostle Paul, got saved, and Paul baptized him and his family while they're in Corinth. And so the household of Stephanus must have been well known here in Corinth. As Paul says at back in 1 Corinthians 16, you know the household of Stephanus. And so they were well known within that church. And so he could use them as an example. You need to be like that, right? In verse 16, that you submit yourselves unto such. The unto such is people like Stephanus and his household, who have addicted themselves to ministry. I beseech you that you submit yourself unto such and to everyone that helps us and labors. So Stephanus is a first fruits of Achaia, which is a help for exhorting the Corinthians to action. The second thing that Paul says about Stephanus is this: they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So let's park here for a little bit. Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The word addicted is found only here in the whole Bible. The English word addicted. Nowhere else does it occur except right here in this verse. So that should make us sit up and take notice and think about what this addiction is. And we will do that. Webster's 1828 dictionary, and if you're unfamiliar with Webster's 1828, Webster's 1828 dictionary defines every single word that is found in the King James Bible, which is part of its value, it seems to me. You can get an online version of Webster's 1828 if you have eSword on your computer. It's a free download addition to the program, and you can check out Webster's 1828. You can also buy a copy of it through christianbook.com. I think it costs something like $50 or something like that, if you want. But it's a great resource to have because of the definitions of King James Bible words. So Webster defines addicted as, quote, "devoted by customary practice." I like that. It's simple. It's to the point. Addicted means devoted by customary practice. That was Webster's understanding in 1828. So addicted is only to be found here in this verse in the whole Bible, and with the understanding that it means devoted by customary practice. The Greek word translated addicted is the word tasso. Tasso. And as you might expect, the Greek word has a variety of meanings, a variety of translations into English. It means, tasso means to assign, to appoint. It has an understanding of to order, to station, or even to set, right? To set. Tasso. The Greek word is used 8 times in the New Testament, and with almost as many different English words translated as it appears. And so it's translated with the words appointed a couple of times, set, ordained, determined, and addicted one time in 1 Corinthians 16. So, to be addicted in this context of 1 Corinthians 16 is to be determined and set to do what should be done, what needs to be done in service and ministry to the saints, right? Addicted in this context is to be determined and set to do what was to be done, in this case, ministry to the saints. It was a commitment that they made of themselves to do this work and service for the church. Now also note the personal commitment that's expressed in the phrase, they addicted themselves. They addicted themselves. They weren't coerced into doing this. No one put pressure on them to do this kind of ministry. And it doesn't appear that they were doing this for any reward or any fame or any recognition in the church or in the world at large. They just had determined in themselves to minister to the saints. Now, I believe that is part of the ministry of the Spirit of God in them that has made that kind of determination on their part. Nobody was forcing them into doing it, but God laid it upon their hearts. The ministry of the Spirit of God within them led them to this kind of ministry, certainly an important ministry as it was to the saints. And that's our calling, isn't it? To addict ourselves to the ministry of the saints, to be committed to ministry, because that is what Christ would have us to do. Not because anybody's forcing us into it or putting pressure upon that kind of thing, but we want to be involved in service and ministry for Christ because it's the right thing to do and it's the thing that's going to please the Lord. Are you interested in helping other believers because you want to? You just want to? Or because you're going to get some kind of reward or prize for doing so? Remember, it was the Apostle Paul, who said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. that's Jesus, sorry, in the Beatitudes. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Do it in secret. Your Father will reward you openly. And we believe that's at the Bema seat. But what Stephanus and his household were doing is really the calling of all of us to be addicted to the ministry of the saints. Not for any reward, not for fame, not for anything other than just doing what is right for those in need and for the glory of God. This is what agape is, right? Agape love, often translated in our King James Bible with the word charity. That's an excellent word for agape because that's really what it is all about. An act of the will out of a pure heart to just help another person out for their well-being and for the glory of God with no thought of any recompense coming our way. Just there's a need, you want to help, And that's what the Spirit of God puts in us to do. Stephanas and his household were addicted to the ministry of the saints. Now, the term ministry also is the Greek word diakonia, from which we get diakonos, and in English we get deacon. That's the word for deacon, a diakonos. This aspect of diakonia reflects the relationship between the servant and his work. Diakonos is often translated as servant in our New Testaments, and a few times as deacon when Paul is dealing with that office. But it literally means a servant, but it's different than doulos, which means a slave, and also translated as servant from time to time. The difference is that doulos refers to the relationship between the servant and his master. He is a slave, right? That's the emphasis there. In diakonia or diakonos, the emphasis is on the relationship between the servant and his work, what he does. And in this case, the ministry that Stephanas is involved in is a service for the saints, service to the saints. Ministry, the word ministry, is an excellent translation at this verse, because ministry is what is so important in the lives of the local people in the local church and for the well-being of all involved. So it's a diakonia, a service, an important thing that they were doing to help the saints in their local church. And then lastly, note to whom the ministry is directed here. Stephanas and his household have addicted themselves to the ministry of who? Ministry of the saints. Ministry of the saints. Who are the saints? Do we have to go to a Roman Catholic Church to find out who the saints are? No, you don't. Do you know and understand that everyone who has been saved by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a saint before God? The word saint here is hagios, holy ones. It's related to the word holy, set apart. And if you know Christ as your Savior, you've trusted him by grace through faith, you are a saint before God. Now, don't let that go to your heads, right? Don't let that go to your heads. It's simply the fact that we have been set apart, saved by God through faith in Christ. We have been cleansed and purified by the blood of Christ shed on our behalf and received of us by grace through faith and belief and trust in Christ. So all born again, blood-bought believers in Christ are saints. And as many problems as the Corinthian church seems to have here, Paul still calls them saints because they have put their faith and trust in Christ. So you are a saint here this morning. We acknowledge that, not for any sense of pride. I'm a saint. You could walk around with your thumbs stuck in your spiritual suspenders and say, hey, look how great I am. I'm a saint. No, that's not the point. The point is that we acknowledge what God has done in our lives, that he has set us apart unto himself, and we are under obligation to serve him and to worship him and to trust him and to obey the things that he has given us to do. It's all because of the grace of God that's poured out upon us because of our faith and trust in Christ. So, saints, just acknowledge that God has been gracious to you in saving you from your sins. But the other aspect of that then is, as holy ones, we are to be set apart from the world and set apart unto God, right? 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And he defines the love of the world as the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, you know that those three things are what the devil uses all the time when he tries to get people to turn from the things of the Lord. He used it with Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's used it down through the ages to many others to take their eyes off the Lord Jesus and onto the things of the world. And Paul says, we're not ignorant of his devices. We know what he does, so beware. And John says, don't love the world and or any of those three things. But keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and your nose in the book. And we will be safe from the fiery darts of the evil one. So let's put all of this together here in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. Paul commended the household of Stephanas to the Corinthian church, because they were not only the first fruits of Achaia, the first to be saved, but also because they had willingly addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They voluntarily set themselves to the task of serving God's people, their brothers and sisters in Christ. And here in verse 17, we also find Stephanas involved with Fortunatus and Achaicus, coming to where the Apostle Paul was with some help from the Corinthian church, ministering to him, as he says, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Your part being the Corinthian church. Those three men have brought to Paul to help in providing for him the things that he had need of. They willingly addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, to their brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as even to the Apostle Paul. And Paul sets them up for us as an example of how we ought to be even in our day. Do you think that Berean Baptist Church would warrant such a commendation as what the Apostle Paul gave of Stephanas and his household, addicted to the ministry of the saints? Do you think that could be true and said of us here? Are we addicted to the ministry of the saints, to one another, to help one another in times of need? I suspect we can. I would say that we can, but I also suspect that we could do better as well. There's never an end to the needs, right? And I know you, that when you become aware of any of those needs, that you're ready and willing and as long as you are able, want to try and help in those needs as well. And I commend you for that, and I think the Lord has blessed us in this church down through the years because of that mindset and that desire to do what we can to help. Are we successful all the time? Well, maybe not. But the heart's desire is to do what we can to help in the needs of one another. Remember, Stephanas was addicted to the ministry of the saints, to the local church and to each one, brothers and sisters. So in this year, 2022, that we are now in, let's determine to minister to one another, to be willing and devotedly committed as a matter of, as Webster defined addiction, customary practice to serve the saints, to be aware of the needs that we all have and to be ready to help as we are able. So I encourage you this morning to take some time and examine yourselves, as will I, to see if we might improve in our service to one another in these days so that others can be helped and that the Lord might be glorified through our church in the things that we are able to do in terms of ministry and service to the saints. I trust you'll give some thought to that in the course of this day. I'm thinking a new theme for 2022 will be somewhere in the phrase of addicted to the ministry. And that's what we can focus on and help develop perhaps even a little bit more in the course of this year. We certainly need ministry to one another in these days with so many difficult things. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word this morning. We thank you for the household of Stephanas and the example that they set, the place that they held within the Corinthian church, and ministry to the saints, and ministry to the Apostle Paul. We thank you for their commitment and addiction to the service and ministry of all of your children in their own home church and other places as well. A wonderful example, and we certainly look to them as an example, even for us today at Berean Baptist, and pray that we too might have that same kind of commendation given about us, that we are concerned for the lives and the well-being of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that as you enable us, we will do what we can to help meet those needs and minister to our friends. And I thank you, Lord, for your continued grace, your blessings poured out upon us here in this place. We do not take them for granted. We desire to ourselves to be committed to serving you and in every way possible, that you might be glorified and pleased above all things. Bless your word to our hearts this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.